Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for all your children that are here today as we gather together for fellowship and for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the efficacy of the word of God, the power that's in the word of God. As we take a closer look today, pray, Lord, for inspiration of the Almighty from the Holy Spirit, from the heart of the Father, to our own hearts as well, giving us understanding. We declare as always, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Today is a different dimension. I want to do a different dimension of the text that we've been talking about for the past 2 days. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Yeah, that's the scripture we've been talking about. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. That word, he reveal and expose everything. And all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Powerful scripture. I don't think that we talk about this scripture enough. You know, and I know we've talked about one part of it. The design, you know, the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. We've talked about that. And many sections, many things, I mean, to dig into in this text. You know, there's also joints and marrows. You know, word of God can even, you know, divide asunder joints and marrows. Maybe we'll talk about that someday. But today I want to talk about the word of God being a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that there is no creature that is not plain or manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of whom that we have to do. You know, there's nothing hidden that shall not be made plain. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. The word of God can do it all. I want us to examine the scripture for a bit today. And just think about it. You know, we don't often talk about it, but let's talk about it today. You know, there's some things that jumps out right away in this text. But maybe so, maybe not. I want you to interact with the session today. What things come to mind as you think of this title today? As you see the title saying that the word of God is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart, what things come to mind? I would ask of you, if you can, please put a comment in the chat room of what might come to mind immediately as soon as you see this. I mean, there are many keywords even in that. First of all, we know that the word of God is there, but we're not talking about being a discerner. We'll talk about that. But the discerner of what? Of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We'll talk about that. So what are the things that come to mind? You know, you give a brief one sentence perspective, you know, right off the bat. What comes to mind? And we'll be talking about that. Praise the Lord. Now, there are some things that the Word of God, you know, wants us warns us about, cautions us about, teaches us about, and so on and so forth. The other day, we were talking about the posture of the heart. You know, that the heart can be deceitful, can be desperately wicked, according to Jeremiah 17 and 9. He said, well, the heart of man, you know, and can be deceitful, desperately wicked. Jesus also said that there's a lot of things that can start in the heart, you know, adulteries, fornications, murders, lies, heresies, all these things. They start in the heart. So that heart, you know, can be very deadly. It's kind of like the tongue. And I talked about those two together last week. I said the tongue can be a deadly poison, a world of iniquity, you know, that no man can tame. That's what James calls it. What Jeremiah says, the heart is the same thing. It's a deadly poison. It's desperately wicked. You know, nobody can tame it either. But the word of God can not only tame these things, Holy Spirit, but can also expose. Now, not just as a microscope looking into somebody else's life. Yeah, he can do that too. But more so as a mirror looking inward. That's right. So because Jesus talked about some of this and said, look, why are you trying to fix your brother? Has a little tiny speck in his eye. You're trying to fix that. And you can see that, but you can't see the big log that's in on your own eyes. Well, take care of the big log that's in your eyes first. Then you'll see more clearly to help your brother. You know, so you got to always take care of yourself first. And even if you fly in the airline, yeah, they come out there and they give you instructions in preparation for the flight, just in case something bumpy or whatever happens. If the cabin begins to lose pressure or whatever, and you know, oxygen max may automatically drop and tell you all these things. If you ever been in an airplane, you hear these things every time. I mean, there was a time I was flying, you know, twice a week for years, and it came to a point in time I could say those things that they always say on top of my head, because I've heard it so many times. And I could just say it. I knew what they were going to say. I would just say it. You know, and they'll tell you that, you know, if the cabin were to lose pressure, oxygen mask would automatically drop from the unit above your head. And they'll tell you that. But they will also tell you that, tell you how to attach the mask and so on, and what to do with it and all that. But they would tell you too, even if you have a kid with you, or somebody elderly, or somebody disabled, your neighbor that you want to help, put on your mask first before you help the next person that's by you. Anybody ever heard that? Put that in the chat room. You can give me a yes in the chat room if you've ever heard that. But that's what they say. They'll say, you know, you got to put on your mask first, you know, before you help somebody else, help yourself first. Now, that's what they say in the natural world for when you're trying to help somebody in the face of impending danger, like cabin losing pressure and trying to get oxygen from the oxygen masks. Well, let's talk about that. What about the word of God? You know, you know, sometimes we use this word of God when we preach the word of God. People think that it's like you're telling somebody else. You know, we're always telling, like we're always telling people what to do or what not to do and so forth. The word of God is more than that. It's number one, introspection. That's number one. It's for you personally. Me, as a teacher of the word of God starts with me. You know, praise the Lord. the book of Ezra, chapter 7, verse 10, which we quoted last week or so, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. That's right. And to do it, you know, that's the first thing. And to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. But first, he prepared his own heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. I read to you also how Luke introduced the book of Acts. You know, he was the writer of the book of Acts, you know, along with the Gospel of Luke. And he said, at the very beginning, the first verse or so, he said, the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So it wasn't just teaching first. It was doing and then teaching the same things. You know, so the aspect, one aspect I want to concentrate on today is that, in, you know, immediately when you think of discerning, you may be thinking, oh, God's going to show me what's in somebody else's heart. Maybe so. But first, he wants to show you what's in your own heart. You know, that's it. So number one, we're responsible for our own hearts. Prepare our hearts before the Lord so that the Word of God can help us. You see, when, if the Word of God falls on an unpenitent heart or whatever, I mean, or a heart that's not prepared, then it's not going to profit anything. The Bible of the sower told us that some seeds fell on grounds that were not prepared. You know, either they were just by the wayside that birds picked up, or they were on grounds that were too hard, like rocks, or they were on ground that was among thorns or whatever. In all those cases, they did not fall on the right ground. You know, so, and it didn't, and we know even naturally, you know, for people that plant and sow and farmers and things like that, you know, you've got to do something about the ground, you know, that you are going to sow in. We call it breaking up your fallow ground. How do you do that? Well, if the land had been, you know, just barren or idle or forever, you know, left alone for a long time, what happens is weeds are grown over, you know, a lot of things are, you know, in that place, which shouldn't be, right? And then what happens? Well, you can't just go there and begin to sow on ground that is not prepared. You have to, first of all, break up that fallow ground in order to get the ground ready for sowing. And sometimes you have to till the ground, pull out the weeds, break it up if it's been sitting and hardened for a long time. You have to put fertilizers or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of things that people do in order to get the ground ready, you know, before we sow the seed. The book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. That will lead to your ability to reap in the mercies of the Lord. That's right. If you sow in righteousness, not unrighteousness, you know, whatever you do in righteousness will give you a return in the mercies of the Lord. But you must also break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon us. Fallow ground. I mean, if we you know, if we get the seed into ground that's not well prepared, a number of things can happen. Either the weeds will outgrow the seed and choke the life out of it, or it doesn't have enough moisture or nurturing in the ground or whatever, and the thing will just not prosper. So preparing the heart is so critical. Now, who can know the heart, though? I mean, the heart of man, who can know it? You know, there is someone or something that can know that heart, you know, and that's what we want to talk about today. You know, the ways of the heart, you know, way the heart thinks, you know, there's a lot of things that can brew inside our heart. The thoughts of evil and even thoughts of good or whatever, they all come from the heart. Preparations of the heart that leads to the answer of the tongue. Yeah. If that heart is cultured, then it'll come from the Lord. If it isn't cultured, it'll be like Jeremiah 17 and 9. It'll be coming out of a place that desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, and it's going to always try to be manipulative and so on. You know, so the heart of man. Now, when there is the fear of God in the heart of man, that, you know, we sing a song that says, well, the spirit of God in the heart of man, something more than God. I say the fear of God in the heart of man makes that a heart of gold. You have the fear of the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge. You know, it's the thing that helps the heart to be cultured, you know. But if we do not culture this heart, well, how then can it receive the word of God? How can it receive the word of God? You know, now, let's read this lesson in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah 17:9, talking about the heart. This is where everything starts from. When there's going to be bitterness, and there's going to be anger, when there's going to be unforgiveness or whatever, it's all in the heart. And we've got to circumcise the heart. The scripture says, not just the foreskin of our flesh, or circumcise the heart. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Or who can tame it? The Lord searches the heart. He says, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And those his ways and those his fruits of his doings, they begin in the heart. Now, if you can get your heart right, James says, you know, seest thou a man that is, you know, does not offend in his words? That I'll show you a perfect man if you show me somebody that does not offend his words. Well, let me tell you, let me say it to you this way. This is the gospel according to Pastor Yaro. You know, seest thou a man whose heart is pure? Well, that man will ascend to the hill of the Almighty. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Almighty? He that has a pure heart and clean hands. You can't do it otherwise. You know, and because by nature, the heart is the opposite of what God wants, there is a mechanism that God provides to deal with our heart, and it's called the word of God. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, but first we got to learn how to prepare our hearts before the Lord. How do you prepare your hearts before the Lord? Well, there are many things, you know, that we must disengage from. Must disengage from lies. That's number one. Because anything that is not according to the word of God is a lie. Jesus said the devil is a liar and the father of it. Why is he the father of lies? Because he twisted the word of God. He said, well, you know, that's not what God meant. God meant it this other way. Yeah. As far as God is concerned, that's a lie. You know, we twist the word of God, and God's word says it one way, and then we allow our heart to twist it. Well, you know, that's a lie as far as God's concerned. Well, liars, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Revelation 21 and 8. That's it. That's a very, very dangerous thing to mess with if we know it's going to end there. You know, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall abide in his tabernacle? Who among us shall dwell in his holy hill? Who shall ascend to the hill of the Almighty? All these things that are in the scriptures. You know, he that has a pure heart and clean hands. Well, let's talk about the purity of the heart. Well, how can we get this heart to be pure? You know, how do we do it? Because the heart, by nature, is deceitful and desperately wicked. So, in order for us to get a pure heart, okay, there's the word of God. He's the cleanser. You know, it says that the word of God, first of all, is sharper than any two-edged sword, even sharper than surgical instruments, scallops and all these things that, you know, doctors use. The word of God is sharper than all of that. It can operate on the heart better than anything else. You know, it can not only even the heart, it can go inside the body. You know, it says, you know, take this word, meditate upon it. It will be health to your bones, joints and marrows. You can go in there and can do things. But in your heart, especially, you get that word in your heart, meditate, you know, meditate upon that word. Not just as a forgetful hearer, but as a doer of the word. I'm going to read that to you in a minute, and we'll dwell upon it, what James was saying. But first, the book of Psalm 24, we read, you know, who is going to ascend to the hill of the Almighty? Who can do it? Knowing that the scripture already says the heart is desperately wicked, and God knows our hearts. So if you come, you know, before the Lord with something evil in the heart, you know, all things are open and naked before him with whom we have to do. That's what James tells us, you know. So who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Psalm 24 verse 3. That's the question. Well, what's your answer? Well, he answers it himself. He said, he that hath clean hands, I'll put his hand onto anything that is unclean, and a pure heart. You know, he that has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, even he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the man. You know, like that. So, the heart plays a key role in this question. When the heart is pure, Well, then you have an opportunity, you know, because, and remember, there's nothing in the heart that can be hidden from the Lord. The book of Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. You know, why? Fearfulness has grieved, surprised the hypocrites. There's a lot of hypocrites the Bible calls out in Zion. Hypocrisy starts in the heart. You know it's this way, but you say it's that way. Or you pretend to be something that you are not. It all starts in the heart. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Now, this is not a bad fire. This is holy fire. Who can have it? Well, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, shaketh his hands from holding of bribe, stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, and guards his heart from evil thoughts. I put that there, you know. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be munitions of rocks. His bread also shall not fail. Bread shall be given unto him. His water shall be sure. Well, because he had dealt with his heart. You know, bring your heart, you know, to the operating table today. Let the word of God, you know, create, go in there and cause some incisions in our hearts. But the Lord one time, he said in Jeremiah 31 and 31, he said, I will inscribe something in their hearts. I will write my law. Why is the Lord always going after the heart? Because, well, that's where it all happens. And the Lord said, I will write my laws in their hearts. I need to take over their heart. Write my laws in there. Take over their heart. Praise the Lord. So, according to the book of James, chapter 1, James likens, you know, the word of God to a mirror. Not exactly a microscope or a telescope for looking at something else, external, but a mirror for looking inside. You know, so if it's a mirror for looking inside, that's really what we want to talk about today. How the Word of God can act as a mirror for looking inside. You know, it says, be ye doers of the word, and not errors only, deceiving your own selves. That's James chapter 1, you know, and verse 22. But if any be a hearer of the word only, and not a doer, then he's like unto a man that is beholding his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself, he sees there's something not quite right with his face, but he does nothing about it. That's exactly what happens when we just read the Word of God casually. If we read the Word of God casually, it's just like somebody looking into the mirror, and you see that something needs to be fixed, but you do nothing about it. That's what James is saying here. We cannot read the Word of God casually. You know, neither should we hear the word of God casually. Jesus said, take heed how you hear. You know, what is the posture of your heart when you hear the word of God or read the word of God? Isaiah 66 verse 2. This is the man to whom I will look. He that is of a contrite heart and trembles at my word. You know, so this is the one, you know, that's what God is looking for. You know, that's why the church says, well, receive Jesus into your heart, all these things. You know, because the heart is the place where the throne of the kingdom of God in us. It's in our heart. When you say the kingdom of God is within you, it's in your heart. You know, the things that glorify God or the things that dishonor God, they all start in the heart. So you ponder the heart. Guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Now let's talk a little bit more about the Word of God being a discerner, you know, of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. It means, you know, there is nothing that is hidden as far as God's word is concerned. The word of God will expose the things in your heart. Now, forget somebody else now. We're not talking about you looking into somebody else's life. We're talking about you looking inside. Me looking inside. The word of God will expose that. You will see where your heart is at when you allow the word of God to fall on a prepared heart. Prepared heart doesn't mean that, you know, the heart is perfect. It just means willing to receive instruction, willing to receive correction, willing to receive reproof. You know, when you are like that, a contrite heart, there must be contrition in our hearts. You know, if we are stubborn, rebellious, you know, and hardened our hearts, the Bible says they hardened their hearts. You know, when they harden their heart, they have not prepared their hearts to hear the word of the Lord. You know, so when they prepare your heart, you may not be perfect, but the people that God said they were perfect in their heart wasn't because they were perfect in their ways. No, it was because their heart was prepared to receive the word of God. That's it. Being perfect in your heart means a heart of contrition, prepared always to receive the word of God. And if the word of God says it one way, you don't look a different way. You don't look at the mirror, see what needs to be fixed, and just ignore it. You know, that's what preparing the heart means. Prepare the heart before the Lord. You know, those are the ones whose hearts are perfect before Him. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to do something good for those whose hearts are perfect before Him. Well, there's really nobody's heart who's perfect before Him. But the perfection in that case is they have prepared their hearts to receive the word of God, receive instruction, receive correction. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. The word of God, you know, is profitable for reproof, for rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished to all good works. The word of God is good for all those things, beautiful for every situation. Now, the word of God is good for comfort, you know, as we read in 1 Corinthians 12. It's good for comfort. It's good for, exhortation. It's good for edification. That's good. But it's also good for correction, for reproof, for rebuke, and for instruction in righteousness. That's the word of God. Now, if you allow the word of God, the Bible says the word of God is not bound. The word of God prevailed. The word of God multiplied. Why is the word of God doing all those things? Because it's reaching into the hearts of the people and creating a new culture. You know, that's it. The influence of heaven, the way things work in heaven, you know, come into our lives through the word of God. The word of God is that instrument that brings the influence of the kingdom into our lives. Even people in the world, that's how they do it. You know, whether wrong or right, even when people you know, and trying to indoctrinate people, tell them into dark things and so forth. They keep repeating something to them, you know, enough times, you know, that, you know, it sinks into them. The Word of God must have that effect in us. It said, this word shall not depart from your mouth. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. It said, the Word of God. Where is the Word of God? Well, are we going to go look for it in the grave? He said, no. Are you going to have to go to heaven to get it down? He said, no. He said, but where is it then? You know, well, it's, let's read it. Let me read it to you in the book of Romans, chapter 10. It says, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 6. Do not say in your heart, say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven? Well, you're thinking about it. It's a good thought. But what's the answer? Well, oh, I mean, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend to the deep to look for Christ there. Christ is not there. He's risen again already. But what said the word? The word is nigh thee. It's in thy mouth and it's in thy heart. See, these two things work together. The heart and the tongue. They always work together. You know, it's in your mouth and it's in your heart. The word of faith. And if it's in your heart, and even that's how it works. God has to culture that heart through the word of God. The word of God exposes everything. When you're dealing with pride, spiritual pride, and spiritual pride is a very dangerous thing. Most people don't know they have it. A lot of people have it. When we think that we are better than somebody else, just like the man in Luke chapter 18 that Jesus was talking about. He said, Jesus spake this parable to people, you know, because some people thought they were better than others and they despised others. So he said unto them, two men went to pray. One of them who had his spiritual pride, he stood, you know, brag upon himself. I'm not like other men, not even like this publican over here. You know, I'm a good man. You know, I fast twice a week. I give alms. I do these things. I pray. I'm in the praise team. I preach. I'm in the soul winners team or whatever. I do all these things. I'm better than others. Others are not doing it. Yeah, spiritual pride. You know, and Jesus didn't say he wasn't doing those things. But because of the pride of his heart before the Lord, his prayer was not even received. He was just wasting his time praying, you know, thinking of, you know, what he has accomplished. Whereas there was a man that humbled himself, said, Lord, you know I'm struggling here. I need your help. Have mercy upon me. Now that one was received. The one that said, look, I'm not like other men. You know, it's just men, they believe nothing. You know, they don't even understand the Godhead. They don't understand water baptism. They don't understand these things. I'm better than all of them. Well, spiritual pride has crept in. And God will have none of it. There was a man called Nebuchadnezzar one time. You know, he went through, after God had delivered all the kingdoms of the world at his feet, one day, and he had built incredible things, hanging gardens of Babylon and all these things. And one day he was walking in his palace, strutting his stuff and say, is this not great Babylon that I have built the excellency of my majesty and by the might of my own power? Isn't this all these things that I have done by myself, for myself and for my glory? And the Lord was going to show him. You think so? I'm going to show you. You know, and the Lord put him down for 7 years, made him become like a monkey. That's right. You know, he grew whiskers like a cat, like a wild cat. You know, he grew claws like a hawk. You know, and it was grotesque. Immediately, because the word of the Lord was going to show him by decree of the holy watchers. And you know, if you raise your heart up like that, God will put you down. He can do it too. When he finally came back, he gave one of the most wonderful accolades to the Lord in that Bible. He said, look, now I know that all those who walk in pride, God is able to abase. You know, he doeth as he will in the armies of heaven. Nobody can say to him, what doest thou? You can't tell him what he does. You can't do anything before him. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing before him. Ha! Hallelujah. He finally figured it out. Should have figured it out all along. See, his heart was not right before the Lord. And you know, we read the stories of the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. Most of the time, the kings of Judah did fairly well. But most of the time, the kings of Israel were wicked. You know, but all the time there was this commentary, you know, about them, whether they did evil before the Lord or whether they did good, whether their heart was right before the Lord or not. And even some of them that tried to do well, you know, there was this commentary that, but his heart was not perfect before the Lord. God was always looking at the heart. And even the great prophet Samuel, when the Lord told him to go and choose, you know, for the Lord, one of the sons of Jesse, you know, he came in there. Even Jesse himself, you know, despised David. David wasn't invited. They brought the older sons and paraded them before Samuel. You know the story. And when Samuel saw the first one, Eliab, and he was tall, well-built, was a military-trained man, was in the army, and he looked good, and he was tall and everything. And he said, yeah, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. That's what Samuel thought, because he was looking at, and we didn't know this until the Lord said so. The Lord said, no, I have rejected him because the way I look is not the way you look. You are looking at the outward appearance, what the man looks like, how his muscles are built, how tall he is, you know, how well he looks, and so on and so forth, how well he speaks. God said, no, I have rejected him. But I look at the heart. See, the heart is what the word of God discerns. The word of God discerns what's in the heart. You just look at those, you know, things, you know, that are in the heart. The word of God can discern that. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And someone said, well, okay, if not this one, maybe the next one. And no, all of them like that passed before him. And yet the Lord said, I've rejected every one of them. That was a lesson that God was trying to show us. God could have told him right away that it will be David, his last son, that you will anoint. God could have told him that, and we would not have seen the lesson. The lesson what God wanted to show was that, look, it's not the outward appearance. I'm looking at the heart. So God didn't tell Samuel that because God wanted us to learn that lesson. So Samuel went, he looked at everybody, you know, and God said, no. And he said, well, who then? You know, and God said, look, I have reserved to myself a man that is after my own heart. That's right. You know, so God is looking at the heart, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you can look at the heart too, but your own heart, not somebody else's heart. You look at your own heart through the word of God. That's right. Yesterday and the other day before, we spoke about using the word of God to divide between the soul and the spirit. When the soul is unbelieving, fearful, and doubtful, and all these things, the spirit will latch on the word of God, say, nevertheless, at his word, not minding how I feel or think or whatever. And that separates or puts the soul in its place. But today, we want to talk about putting the heart in its place. Because this heart is desperately wicked, is deceitful above all things. It's like the tongue is also wicked. It's a world of poison. You know, vitriolic words will come out of these words from time to time. The same mouth, come out of this mouth. The same mouth that we use to bless the Lord, sing his praises, to shout the glory and everything. You know, I say with the same mouth, you know, you bless God. James chapter 3. And with the same mouth, you curse fellow men who are created in the image of God. Said these things ought not to be. The same heart. You know, sometimes your heart would think good. You see somebody that's in need and you have bowels of compassion in your heart. You just want to help them. You know, sometimes this heart can do good. And it's in your heart sometimes to do good. One time, in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 9, David said, look, it's in my heart to do good to somebody. God put his hand and said, who is left in the house of Saul that I may do good unto him because of Jonathan? Because God had put it in my heart to bless somebody. It was in his heart to do the good. Sometimes this heart is enlarged. Paul said, my heart is enlarged. There are good things. I'm indicting, the psalmist said, I'm indicting good matters in my heart. I'm thinking of good things. Sometimes this heart will think good things, especially when the heart has been cultured. But at the same time, this heart can think evil things. James said, James is a powerful writer that talk about this, things. You know, he said, look, you have become judges of evil hearts. If when somebody that dresses nicely comes to your congregation and you receive them well, they come off in a flashy car, they give you a title that they're a doctor, such and such, and you love them, and you introduce them to everybody, you know. Then when somebody comes in raggedy old clothes, you know, you don't care about them. You don't like them. You don't trust them. You think they have come there to do harm to the people. You know, then the Bible says you have become judges of evil thoughts. And these things are in the heart. Now, the word of God will expose those, just like right now. The word of God I'm preaching right now is already exposing these things. That's what the word of God does. You know, but we must look at the word. When we receive the word of God, you know, we receive it as it is the word of God. You know, and then we search those things to see whether they are so. That's why the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word of God as it was the word of God. And then they went and searched those things daily. So when you hear the word of God, or you read it, you know, don't read it as though it's pointing to somebody else. It's pointing to you. That's right. So prepare your own heart first, to do it first, to seek the law of the Lord first. This was the Ezra anointing. Ezra anointing says, first, you seek the law of the Lord yourself. Learn it. You set your heart to do it yourself. And then you teach it to others. And first you teach it to your children. You know, speaking to them in your house, when you sit at the meal, when you do this, you write it on the doorpost of your house and all these things. Teach it to your children and their children after them. You know, but first it starts with you, the things which Jesus began both to do and then to teach. And Jesus, one day, he was going to He's been trying to teach these people some things, but they were all struggling, trying to be, you know, who's the greatest and all of that. So he demonstrated it in John chapter 13. One day after a meal, he got up, got a towel, got a bowl of water. The others were still sitting. I said, sit down. And he began to wash their feet. You know, and after he finished, he said, look, if I being your Lord and your master, you call me Lord and master, and you say correctly, because who I am, that's it. But I've demonstrated to you something here, which usually lords and masters don't do. Lords and masters don't wash your feet. But I, being your Lord and your master, rabbis don't even wash anybody's feet. Everybody has to carry the Bible and carry the days of the apostles these days. Pastors don't do these things. But Jesus said, well, you know, I have washed your feet. I've done these things. You may see what I've taught you. If I've done these things, lead by example, you ought to do the same. You know, so, and Jesus made a powerful statement. He said, to be the least in the kingdom, you know, is for you to teach something that you yourself are not doing. You know, the least in the kingdom. If you are teaching what you yourself are not doing, wow. You know, that's why I often, you know, I shudder at these things. You know, I want to say, Lord, help me. I'm teaching something. I got to do it. In fact, let me do it first. Let me be first partaker. Say the husbandman is first partaker of the fruit. Well, let me be even first partaker. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, you know, he said, 19, he said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, but teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. So he's not doing it, but he's telling people how, you know, should do it. He will be the least. I don't want to be the least in the kingdom. So I must do what I teach. And not only do it, I have to do it first. You see, because that's what Ezra did. Seek the Lord first, Ezra 7 and 10, and do it before he begins to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Praise the Lord. Now, let's dive more into how the Word of God is a discerner and, you know, of the thoughts and intents. When you read the Word of God, you know, like the Bible say, be not high-minded, but condescend to men of, you know, low degrees. When the Lord said, you know, do not be desirous of vainglory, but in honor preferring one another. There are many instructions like that in the scriptures. If you allow those instructions to come into your heart, create the culture of the heart, the Word of God will circumcise the heart. You know, it's sharper than incision, scissors, and things like that, scallops and so on. The Word of God is sharper than all those things. It's powerful. It can culture the heart. And when you read it and you tremble at it, it creates a culture in your heart. If you read it and say it doesn't matter, then it's over. You know, anybody that hears the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, let me put it to you plainly today. You hear the Word of God on any subject. You read it even yourself and say, that doesn't matter. It's over. You know, it's over. Your hearts and your consciences are now sealed. God can't help you anymore. When he gives you your word, his word, but you say, no, it doesn't matter, then it's over. This is the man to whom I will look. He that is of a contrite heart and trembles at my word. Not say it doesn't matter. If you say it doesn't matter, God can help you. You have declared independence from the Lord, and then you are on your own. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get away from the it doesn't matter spirit. Let the Word of God in your heart. So let the Word of God abide richly in your heart. These are the things that, you know, Paul taught the new converts at Ephesus, Colossae, Philippians, all these things. You know, he said, look, let that Word of God dwell richly in your heart. You got to allow it. You know, you got to let that Word come inside your heart. Dwell richly in your heart. Think about it. You know, let it have its perfect work. That's right. Let it have its perfect work. And the work that it wants to do is expose the hidden things of the heart. That's what God's word wants to do. Expose it to you. And you look in the mirror. Don't use God's word as a microscope. Look at somebody else. Don't use God's word as a telescope either. You know, look at it as a mirror. What's not right in my heart? Why am I feeling this way toward my brother or my sister? You look within. Praise the Lord. And even the unbelieving heart. That's right. You know, the word of God can help that heart. Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. Again, that's God's word, right? Dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, but also discerner. You know, when the word of God comes, it'll help you to discern areas of unbelief. Or the God can expose it. All of a sudden you find out, wow, I wasn't believing the Lord like I thought I was. Praise the Lord. You know, when Jesus says stuff like, speak the word and don't doubt it, you find out you actually doubt it. And that's why it didn't happen. That word now is exposing. See, the word of God is exposing. All the things that Jesus said, taught on the, the Sermon on the Mount and all those things. And that's why that was the word of God exposing. He said, look, when you pray and you are like, you like people to know that you are a powerful prayer warrior, you use great big words and so forth, you know, so that people can know how well you can pray. And so word of God is exposing that. He said, don't pray like that. When you fast and you announce it, when you give an offering and you blow a trumpet before you and all this. See, that's the word of God exposing those things, you know, that are in the heart. See, and when we read that, you say, wow, you know, the word of God begins to culture that heart. You say, I can't do like I do this day and expect that my voice will be heard on high. You know, that's not going to work. Then the word of God begins to culture your heart. You say, wow, I got to change my ways. And Jeremiah is very bold, you know, very bold in many things. He calls the heart wicked. And then he called out the people. He said, look, amend your ways. How do you amend your ways? How shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed, O Lord, according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I should not sin against you. I mean, these are the concepts of how that word of God exposes the heart. It exposed the otherwise what would have been evil in your heart. The word of God exposes it. I'm not as humble as I thought I was because I've got pride in my heart. You know, the word of God says, humble yourself. You know, you have to humble yourself. So the word of God is telling you, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. That's the word of God speaking to you, not somebody else. You know, so word of God speaks to me first before I can speak it to somebody else. That's the designer of the thoughts and intents. Jesus said, you know, that there is nothing hidden, you know, that shall not be uncovered. Or there is nothing secret, you know, that shall not be known. Well, what does that mean? Well, it is the word of God that can do that. You know, in the book of Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Luke chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, you know, this truth is revealed there. He said, there is nothing hidden, you know, but that will be known in due time. And the word of God already knows it. The Bible says, Hebrews 4, that we just read, verse 13, everything is naked before him already. So you might as well come clean. It's all naked. Come clean and ask the Lord, like the man who was beaten upon his chest, who couldn't even raise up his head in prayer. Say, Lord, I'm not even worthy. Help me. You know, and the Lord helped him. His prayer was heard. You know, Luke 8 and 17, Matthew 10 and 26, there's nothing hidden that shall not be known. The word of God exposed everything. And Jesus himself said, look, you know, Don't think that I will judge you. No. There is one that judges you.
The Word.
That's right. The Word will judge you. That's why even our own words are powerful. Our own words can judge us. By your words, you shall be justified or condemned. By your own words. Now, the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119 verse 89. It's powerful. It's settled. You can't defeat it. You can't change it. You can't argue. You may argue, but you're not going to win. Some people like to argue. You're not going to win. The Word of God will judge the final analysis. And if your heart is not right, then you will not be able to dwell with the devouring fire. You will not be able to dwell with everlasting burnings because your heart is not cultured. You know, how do we get our heart to be cultured then? Well, be in contrition. Lower your heart before the Word of God. That's it. Just lower your heart before the Word of God. You know, in order for the Word of God to have impact in our lives, we've got to prepare our hearts to receive the Word. That's a great prayer. Say, Lord, you know, prepare my heart. Help me to prepare my heart, you know, to receive your Word. Anytime you want to read the Word of God, either for yourself or hear it from somebody teaching it like I'm doing now, you got to first prepare your heart. So that may fall on good ground, you know. And if it falls on good ground, then it will bring forth good stuff. The seed that fell on good ground, finally, that ground was prepared. Some fell on stony ground, they were not prepared, you know, fell among thorns, the field was not prepared. There's too many thorns in there. You sow and sow there. You have to clear the thorns first. All of those things choke the Word. And so on and so forth. But in one instance, the thing fell on good ground. That was the heart that was prepared. And that began to bring forth good things. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Because the heart was prepared. Because the seed fell on good ground. See, that's the emphasis. It's not the seed that was the emphasis. It was the same seed that it was throwing everywhere. You know, the emphasis was on where did it land. That's the emphasis. You know, so it's not the seed. It was the same Word that, you know, through here, through there, through here, through there. The same Word. But the emphasis was when it landed on prepared ground, on good ground. It brought forth good things. You know, so, you know, that a good man out of the good treasure in his heart brings forth good things. You know, and the Word of God is the only thing that can help prepare our hearts to become a good ground. That's it. So when you read the Word of God, read it with introspection. To look inside. Not look at others. Don't try to take the beam out of your brother's or sister's eyes. You know, the mote, the little speck out of your brother's eyes when you have a beam, a big log, your eyes. Take care of that first, then you can see clearly. Put on your own oxygen mask first before you help the person sitting next to you. That's what they tell you in the plane. You've got to fix yourself first before you can fix somebody else. This is the problem even in marriages. You know, the spouse is always trying to fix their spouse. That's not going to work. Fix yourself. Let God fix them. You fix yourself. You cannot fix them. You can only fix yourself. Fix yourself. Let God fix them. Now, when you're trying constantly to fix your wife or fix your husband, eventually the whole thing will fall apart because that's not how it works. You know, so you got to fix yourself. Praise the Lord. If we fixed ourselves, it'd be fine. If you fix yourself, I fix myself, the other person fix themselves, everything's going to be all right. Instead of trying to fix somebody else, which you cannot do. You don't have control over somebody else. You don't have control over what somebody is going to say. you know, you can only have control over your own reaction. You know, people can say anything. They may say things that are pleasant to your ears. You know, pleasant words, you know, they're good. You know, grievous words, they stir up strife. You know, pleasant words are like a honeycomb. They're like a tree of life, you know. But, you know, you can't control what the other person is going to say, whether it will be pleasant words, whether it will be whatever, you know. But your own reaction is what you can control. We can only safeguard our own heart. You can't deal with somebody else's heart. You can't do it, you know. But most of the time we're trying to do it. We're trying to change somebody else. They can't change by your actions, I mean by your words or what you're trying to do. You know, your actions may influence them, but they are going to have to change on their own. You change on your own, you know, and let that rub off. Be an influencer. Praise the Lord. You know, by the grace of God, we are all influencers. An influencer. Because the Bible calls us an epistle read of all men. You are like the word in action. An influencer. People look at you and they see something good. And they want some of that, you know, because you're an influencer. Now, if people look at you and they don't see anything good, they can't tell whether you are a believer or not. That's a problem. Without you even opening your mouth to say, give your life to Christ. People that you associate with, they must be able to see that there's a difference in your life. That's the heart. You know, the posture of your heart will radiate into your life. If there's evil things in your heart, that's what's evil surmisings, all these things, you know, it will come out of your mouth, show your lifestyle. But if your heart is right, it will also bring out good things. You cannot bring good things out of evil things. And neither can evil things come out of good things. You know, good will bring forth good. Evil will bring forth evil. The word of God is there to help us to discern. See, when your mind is going the opposite direction, you know, the thoughts and intents, do you have the right motives? That's what intents are, intention. You know, what are your thoughts? What are your intentions? You know, are they right? Are they wholesome before the Lord? When you even do stuff, you know, when you even do anything, I mean, are you doing it wholesomely before the Lord? Or are you doing it for a show to be seen of men or whatever? Or if we are doing it for a reward? Jesus said, well, if you do it for a reward from men, that's fine. He didn't say that, you know, you didn't do it. You did it, but you have your reward, and that's it. And you can't get reward again from God because you already got your reward from men. So which one is it going to be? Now, the word of God will help us to dissect our heart. You see, where's your heart at? Is your heart right? Are you in the right posture with God? You know? What are you doing? Why are you doing it? And what is the driving factor in your heart? You know, praise the Lord. And when we say, even when we give testimony, do we give that testimony so that people will know that you have a lot of faith? Or do we give that testimony to the glory of God? You know, to help others. So our heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. The Holy Spirit, through the word of God, can reveal that and culture it. That's what a discerner of the thought and intents is. You know, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the word of God. It can do that. It can take the heart apart. That's right. It will show us what is in our heart. It's called critical discernment. You know, critically looking at what's inside. And you are going to take time to do that, you know, introspection. The Word of God can actively penetrate to the soul and the spirit. The Word of God can expose the thoughts in our hearts, whether they are wicked or whether they are right, you know. So, you know, that's the Word of God for you. Praise the Lord. And when we think of the Word of God doing these things, right, don't think of it for somebody else. God should show me what is in their heart. No. God should show me what is in my heart. That's it. You know, amend your ways. Jeremiah would say, he said, ye that come in at the, you know, into these gates, into the house of the Lord, you that stand here and say, you know, I am the this and I am the that, you know, Jeremiah said, well, amend your ways. Amend your ways, he told them. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 7, very bold, he said, the word of the Lord came to him and said, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, all ye Judah, and everyone that enter in at these gates into the house of the Lord to worship the Lord. And this message was for the believers. This message was not for the unbelievers. This was about the ones coming into the house of the Lord. He said, thus said the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts, amend your ways and your doings. And then I will cause you to inherit the throne of glory. I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Some people even brag about the place they worship as if it's something. God is not dwelling buildings made with hands. I don't care how beautiful the building is. God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. You know, pride yourself over that. What does that mean? That means nothing. Temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord. What does that mean? You know, but if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, you execute judgment thoroughly between a man and his neighbor. If you oppress not the stranger, not the fatherless, not the widow, and shed not innocent blood, and walk not after other gods in your heart to your own hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place. But you must amend your ways. The word of God is what can help us to do that. Praise the Lord. Well, there are more things to be said about that, but I want to leave it at that today. Think about it. Perhaps you've never really thought beyond the first half of Hebrews 4 and 12. You know, but today, we're thinking about it. There's also the joints and the marrows. The word of God can be health even to your bones. Proverbs will tell you that. You know, this word can heal you even on the inside, physically, you know, even for physical wellness. The word of God can do that. The Lord sent his word and he healed them. God can do that. Praise the Lord. But today I just wanted to talk about doing introspection with the word of God. Looking inward. Not looking at somebody else, but looking inward and allowing God to help, you know, us. Culture our hearts. I will write my laws in their hearts. I will change their heart from a stony heart to a heart of flesh. That's the culture that God wants to bring. They influence our lives through culturing our hearts by the word of God. That's it. The word of God is what can bring that change. We've always talked about the word of God has the power to create change. Well, that change begins with our lives. You know, that's right. Inside your heart is where it begins. You don't need to go to heaven to bring it down. You don't need to go look for it in the grave. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Just like they did in the provocation, they hardened their hearts. you know, and they would not receive the word of instruction and the word of correction. And today, when the Lord tells you, forgive, don't hide in your heart. When the Lord tells you, you know, do this or do that, don't hide in your heart. Believe the word of God. Receive it. Let it have its proper place in your life. Then you get God's attention. This is the man to whom I will look. You're contrite like that, and you allow the word of God. You tremble at my word. Then the Lord said, you're the one that I will have respect unto. I want to pray over the room. Thank you for listening. Father, I thank you for the word of God. It's powerful. It's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, and divide asunder even the soul and spirit, even the joints and the marrows. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents. When our thoughts are not right before you, Lord, the word of God will expose it to us. Show us, Lord, the right ways. This heart can be deceitful, desperately wicked. But Lord, you can culture that heart through the word of God. Help us, O Lord, to receive the word of God into good ground in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. And everyone that's struggling with something in their heart, come to the Lord. Bring it before him. He can help you. The Lord will say to us at the end, if we struggle with something all our lives and we didn't let him help us, say to you at the end, because every one of us will give account of himself to the Lord. Lord will say to you at the end, why didn't you let me help you with that? So I pray, Lord, that we will release it unto the Lord. Take my life, Lord, and let it be pleasing unto thee. Take my heart and help me to culture it, to bring it under subjection. Every thought in my heart, bringing it to the obedience of Christ by the word of God. In the name of Jesus, I give you, Lord, the praise. As I look at the word of God and it exposes things that are not right in my life, give me the grace, Lord, to clean it up. You know, and be willing to receive correction. For every son whom God receives, he must correct. Lord, we receive correction, we receive rebuke, we receive reproof, instruction in righteousness from your word. And we give you, Lord, the praise and glory. We know that our hearts and our lives are already open before you, and that you can help us. But there's nothing hid that shall not be made known. And we thank you. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.